Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How do you, it's not us. It's Him in us. And when we remember that, when we learn that it's not us fighting our battles, it's not us who have to know what to do next, it's not us that needs all the answers right now, it's not us who says that this is the way things should go, it's Him. It's Him in us. He died on the cross for the purpose that we could have Him with us daily, walking, doing things with us. And a lot of times, can we be honest? A lot of times, those walls breaking down means us learning humility. Makes us realize that very true and specific thing, which is that, God, it's not me. I have nothing to do with it. It's You. It's You in every single situation. It's You in every single thing that happens. It's so important for us to learn that stripping away. It is because of the fact that His voice is just a still, quiet voice. And when we can't calm down our thoughts and our things and ideas of the way things should be, when we're looking at things physically, we can't hear what He's giving us for the kingdom. We have to learn to let go of those things. I think that this is specifically important now, right? There's all of the controversy between all the different things right now. Do masks work? Do they not work? Are we safe? Are we not safe? Do we go back to school? Do we not go back to school? What do we do? And that's the thing. As a church body, as Christians, we should know that our focus shouldn't be on those situations, but should be on Him. Because a lot of times what He tells us to do and the direction that He gives us is going to be completely different and sometimes completely opposite of what makes sense. But how else do we know that it's Him moving? That's the awesome part, right? Is when He's doing these things, it's just like in the battles in the Bible. There's times where they had the men to match the situation having. He said, no, wait. Take less men, and I'm going to still prove that you can win this battle. And that's the point of what He does in our life, is even though situations seem like they're against us, odds seem like they're against us, because we have Him in us. Oh, man, come on, guys. Do we know this morning? Are we excited about the fact that we already have victory? That we already have everything we need because we have promises. We have things that we can stand on. Things that He's continued to give us. That there's a living Word that continues to pour into our life. That continues to give us new things. Not just old things. You don't have to pay attention to just one testimony that happened years and years ago. He wants to give you new ones. He wants to give you new victories. He wants to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants to give you and pour in so much more. But man, sometimes we gotta do exactly what this song is saying. Nothing else matters. There's nothing else I need. There's nothing else I need to be focused on. There's nothing else I need to be reading or going after besides You. You have the answers. I love this song for that reason. It doesn't matter how many times we've sang it. I love that heart of, there's nothing else that I want but You. Because when things seem like they're all going downhill, when I don't really know what to do, I know that You have every answer. That You are giving me things to push me into something new. That when I'm going through a storm, I'm not gonna come out. You're not gonna let me sink, but You're gonna hold me and You're gonna take me to somewhere new. We have to realize that the Spirit really, of God, really is a positive and powerful thing. When we feel those thoughts of negativity, when we feel those thoughts coming in that aren't of Him, those are things that we need to realize. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to give us judgment in those areas. And that's the point, is when we allow the Holy Spirit to do those things, that judgment can happen. That judgment, then, it's that double-edged sword that He talks about, splitting bone and marrow. You begin to know the difference between the things of the kingdom and the things that are just of this world. And we're not of this world. And that's what we have to realize, is that when we operate the way that everybody else operates, we're not operating in Him. And when we can get a hold of that, when we can realize that, we'll begin to see some amazing things happen. We'll begin to see the kingdom on earth, because we'll begin to see all of the things come to pass that He promised us. All the things that are already there, that He's already placed in the Bible, they just become secrets that are unlocked all over the place. And things you never saw in the Word before will just begin to be like explosions in your life. They're so clear, they're so concise about what you should do and what you have in Him that you can't even deny it. And that's where we want to be.
Praise God. Whoa, come on, man. Hallelujah. Raise your hand. Give God a praise. Let Him hear your voice. Say, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, rise to your feet and say, welcome you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord, because none is as great as you. None can do what you do, Lord. None is able, Father God, to take us through like you, Father God. So we thank you for that this morning, God. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. We are not the church. We are the kingdom of God in the earth. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, look at that crowd going back to Sunday school. Come on, everybody, raise your hand. Put your hand back there. Say, Lord, bless those kids. Bless those teachers, Lord. Thank you for the anointing, God, upon them, Lord. We praise you. We worship you in Jesus' name. You agree? Say amen. If you can sit down if you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is God good? Woo, God is good. How you like this 105 plus temperatures we're having? And they nice? Praise God. I've got this crowd of rabbits trying to eat my lawn. Man, they love my lawn. And I love my lawn. I like my grass that I'm growing. It's real Bermuda grass. It's not some of you I know. He's growing grass. Pastor's growing grass. No. But these little critters love my lawn. But yesterday when I went out there, man, they didn't even want to get up to run. Because I'm usually chasing them off. And they didn't even want to get up to run. I said, oh, you poor guys. So I went and watered around the trees for them. So I got a whole herd of rabbits in there today, probably right now. They're probably, I don't know. But Stella's told me something the other day that really kind of reminded me. Stella said something. She goes, we went with Deborah and we're looking at her garden. And Deborah was saying, you know, oh, if the ants want to eat it, that's fine. They can have some too. And if the birds want to eat some, they can have some too. I'm just going to go ahead and let them do it. I mean, you know what? That is an attitude. Is that right? Is that a good attitude to have? Come on, whatever, God. It's okay. Let them eat my grass. Because your word says that you have commanded the earth. Listen, this is a good. You've commanded to the earth to respond to the man or the woman of God that's upon it. If the man or woman of God says produce, the earth is commanded by God to respond to that word. Is that cool? So everybody go home, plant a garden, man. Command it to produce. Hey, make sure you put some watermelons because I like watermelon. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Say, command. Hey, the biggest watermelons in the hottest day. Come on. How many believe that? Do you believe that we're on the earth? The kingdom of God is on the earth. And we are that kingdom. How many say amen? Hallelujah. It's not just us. It is a worldwide, come on, man. I got a predicament here. Yeah, hey, Johnny, can you move the wires? Hey, sorry, Lord, I lost where I was at. We are the kingdom on the earth, amen? How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, God is doing something in this kingdom. It's worldwide. I do believe that God is doing a worldwide outpouring of his spirit even today. And it's going to grow and it's going to strengthen like we've never seen. You see, the world has seen little outpourings here and there. Amen? Amen? But never has a world seen an outpouring of the Spirit of God like God's getting ready to do. See, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in a Muslim country, U.S. Or an American country, or a Mexico country. I mean, I can't name all the names. Swedish. What else? Give me something. Vietnam. I mean, but anywhere, wherever. God has positioned men and women of God that know the Spirit of God, that know God. And there is coming, folks, I'm telling you, it's a worldwide outpouring of the Spirit of God. God said in Joel, he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all. Do you believe that means all flesh? I mean, I believe it. It will separate. It will do what it needs to do so that there will be a clarity with God saying, these are my people and those are not. Ain't that crazy? But God's going to do it. You watch. It's happening now. Get into your word. Get into the word of God. Amen? Amen. Seek God. Hallelujah. Seek him. Wait on him. I got something in me. I don't know what it is. Wait on God. Will you wait on him? Don't go till you found out this is what he wants me to do. Wait on him. Can I tell you something? He is worth the wait. Amen. He's worth it. If you'll wait on him, he's worth it. You'll find it was worth the wait. He cares and he loves and he desires for me and you, your family, to be blessed on this planet, that the glory of God might be seen through you. Is that cool? Amen. That those that don't believe, that those that have no idea of knowing because they don't read the word of God, they don't know what God's word says. They've got no idea. All they've got is us. That's all they've got is us. That the glory of God might be seen in us. That Christ might be seen in us. Hallelujah. What the world needs is Jesus. Jesus. Pastor John and I were talking this morning. The whole answer to everything is Jesus. The word of God says that it's coming, that the government will be on his shoulder. His shoulder. It's coming, folks. Get excited because you are in the time of what God is doing in the world today. And I believe it's a worldwide outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Hallelujah. Ooh, the world's going to see God like they've never seen God before. They're going to hear things that they never heard before. We're going to hear and see things we've never seen or heard before. It's crazy. God is getting ready to do something through his people. Are you searching for him? Are you going after him? Ooh, hallelujah. Baraka. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hey, I want to thank the musicians, the worship team. I want to thank the audiovisual people, the sound people. I just want to thank all of them, man, for all they do. Can I tell you, they're important here. Can I tell you, they are absolutely important. No body can function on one. I mean, the body functions as a body. Is that right? If you're all the toe, you look like a big nail. Come on, man. So when you get a chance, thank those folks. Thank them for what they do. Thank you. Thank them for their time that they spend working things out.
Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You guys like talking about Jesus?
Yes.
Man, I love talking about Jesus. You guys, man, yeah, you talk too much, Pastor. Yeah, well, I love talking about Jesus. Do you know he's the author of your faith? Do you know that? He's the author and the finisher of your faith. That's who he is. And one of the things that I just want to share with the body this morning is that it came with a cost, amen? For him to be the author and finisher of your faith, it came with a cost. So we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus. We're going to look at the Word of God and see what God's Word says about him, about what he did for us, which is beautiful. How many of you know he died for your sins? How many of you know that he went into the grave, went down to hell? I was telling folks the other day in Sunday school that I thank God for hell. Isn't that weird? Because that's where Jesus had to go to pay for your sin and my sin. So I thank God that there was a place where payment could be made. Amen? What if there was no place for payment to be made? Where would that leave you and I? But God created a place and he sent his son to pay for you. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says that, the Word of God says that God could not leave his soul in hell. Is that cool? God the Father could not leave his soul in hell. He says, man, I've got to get my kid out. How many ever had a child in jail? I got to get my kid out. I don't know what I got to do, but you know, God said, I got to get my child out. I'm going to get my, you know what? I'm going to honor him. And it was the Father that resurrected Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus didn't do that on his own? Do you know that he could not do it on his own? It was the Father that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Look at your scriptures. Look at the Word of God. You'll see that it was God the Father that said, enough. Come on. Come on up. Woo, hallelujah. And with that, he purchased eternal salvation for every one of us. Isn't that sweet? How many of you know that's a good deal? How many of you know? How many of you know that you missing hell is a good deal? Is that right? Is that a good deal or not? Hallelujah. And we think we got troubles here. Come on, man. That's a good deal. It really is. He paid it for you. But we're going to look at this today. I want to go to John chapter 18. I'm going to be a little bit long reading at the beginning. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 28, John chapter 18. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, this is the day that you have made, Lord. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. Father, we will praise you and worship you, not just this morning, but all day long, Father, because you are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. And now, Father, you see we're going to your word, Father. Father, I'm asking you that you anoint our ears and anoint my lips, my heart, to speak what you would have me to speak in the way you would have me to speak it. Lord, anoint every heart, anoint every ear that's in the house today. Let them hear your words. Let them see with their heart that which you're saying to them about your love for them, your care for them, your desire for the best for them. I thank you for it and I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 18, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. That's just kind of a wild thing. Knowing that they were condemning Jesus to death, knowing that he hadn't done anything wrong, they don't want to be defiled. Isn't that weird? It's just kind of crazy. So they didn't even want to go into that judgment hall. They just want to stay out of it because, hey, we cannot go into the hall of the Gentiles because we would be defiled. Dude, your heart's already defiled. Don't you get it? I mean, I shouldn't have stopped there. But anyway, I just felt I had to say that. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then said Pilate to them, take him, judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered in the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? What have you done? Oh. What have you done? Jesus could have said, well, I healed the eyes of the blind. The lame, I prayed for them and they walked. And, you know, and there was a man named Lazarus and I raised him from the dead. But he didn't say that, did he? So what have you done, Jesus? What have you done? Man, I'll tell you, there's something about that. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, you are a king then. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. How many of you hear his voice? You know, folks, as Christians, we need to be hearing his voice. If you're not hearing, focus. Get focused. You're probably just not picking up that he's talking to you, but he is talking to you. He talks all the time. He will minister to you. And so that if you're not hearing his voice, say, tell him, Lord, could you make your voice clear to me? Scriptures tell us to ask. But ask him, and you'll see that he does speak. Amen? Hallelujah. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Everybody said no fault at all. Everybody say that. You see, with the sacrifices in the wilderness, when they would take an animal to sacrifice it for the sins of the people, they would cut it in half and split it open. And the priests would inspect it. And if it had any kind of a blemish, any kind of a growth or something, then they would say, well, this one's not clean. Let's get another one. But if there was nothing, they would say, hey, there's no fault in this one at all. We'll use it. And this is what Pilate's job was. Pilate's job was at in this time when Jesus was about to be sacrificed, to look at the sacrifice, and Pilate by his mouth said the words, there's no fault at all here. Isn't that crazy? Does God know what he's doing? Oh, you bet he knows what he's doing. Pilate said, he says, I find no fault in him. Verse 39, he says, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release to you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Now, just in these little things, you'll see some little hints of there was always what they called a scapegoat. Do you remember that in the Old Testament? There was a scapegoat. One was, they would lay the sins on it. And the other one they would release into the wilderness. Always a scapegoat. But the Passover goat was always sacrificed, and Jesus was not going to escape. How many of you know that? It was God the Father's choice, God's choice, to put him on the cross for us. Amen? Amen. Verse 1, chapter 19, it says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And said, hey, all hail King Jesus. I was thinking of the song. And they said, hail King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. These were Roman guards. These were not just no, man. These guys, they were hitting him. All hail, King of the Jews. And, you know, the Romans didn't look fondly upon Jewish people. Did you know that? And when they took Jesus and put that crown of thorns on his head, threw on that robe, they were mocking who he was. He says he's a king. Well, let's make him a king. We'll make him a king. Praise God. Abe, come here, bro. Might bring a chair, too, if you want. If you got an empty chair, bring a chair with you. I'm going to keep you up here a while. I'm going to put a robe on you, bro. I mean, say amen. Come on, man. Yeah, man. You're going to get a little warm, my friend, but that's okay. Come on, man. Come on, man. Get one of those stools here, man. Here we go. Praise God. Yeah, I didn't think finding a chair would be so hard this morning, but I guess so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So they put a robe on him. I need somebody to come up and slap him. Your wife was over there with a hand in his. Praise God. Yeah, take that big one. We'll put this one. I don't want you to wheel off on me, man. Just hang in there for a little bit, okay, because they put a robe on him. And they put the crown of thorns on him. And then they began to beat on him. And then they had scourged him, is that right? 39 lashes of the Roman whip. 39, if it was a cat of nine tails, can you imagine 39 plus 9 times 9, if you want, 39 times 9. I don't know, some of you mathematicians might know exactly how many slices he might have gotten on his back. But yet, he did it all for us. The Bible says that by his stripes, we. How many, everybody say, if you're a we, put your hand in the air real quick. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. That crown of thorns that went on his head, the word of God says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That crown of thorns paid for your sound mind. Do you get that? Do you understand that? What he took was for you. The slapping, the beatings. How many of you ever, somebody's just made fun of you and, you know, I mean, just ridiculed you because of who you are as a Christian? Anybody ever done that to you? All of those were paid for by Jesus. Because it hurts sometimes when you, maybe even your loved ones, those that you consider close to you, will say something to you derogatory because you're a Christian. It's okay. Jesus took it. Is that right? So if he took it, can I take it? We're not paying half the price, are we? Not even. It's not even close. Hang in there. You look good there. I like your dress. Just kidding. Praise God. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, behold the man. And when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto him, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. By two or three witnesses will everything be established, is what the word of God says. Pilate said it three times. I find no fault with this man. The Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate heard this saying, he was more afraid and went again to the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Do you not know, Jesus, King of the Jews, that I have power to kill you or power to release you? And you're not going to answer me? Come on. Don't you get it? But Jesus didn't answer him, did he? So stayed quiet. But what he did say, I wish the whole world today, especially in our country, would hear these words, what Jesus said next. Because he said something like this. This is what he said. Jesus answered, verse 11, "You could have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me to you has the greater sin." Do you see that, what he's saying? Can I tell you that Jesus was never rebellious against the government? How many of you know that? Do you know that Jesus never did that? Jesus never stood up against the government that he was there. It never did. As a matter of fact, when they asked him, "Hey, do you pay tribute?" He goes, "Yeah." And he told Peter, "Hey, go down by the sea, fish, and the first fish you catch, open his mouth, and you're going to find a chunk of gold in there. Bring that and pay that for you and me, for all of us." Paid his taxes, amen? Another time they asked him, "Hey, do you pay tribute?" The Jews asked him, "Should we pay tribute?" Trying to catch him. "Should we pay tribute?" Jesus asked, "Hey, show me a coin. Let me see a coin." And Jesus, they give him a coin, and he looks at it, and it's got Caesar's inscription on it, his image. And Jesus asked, "Whose is this image?" and they answer him, they said, "Caesar." And he throws back the coin to him, and he tells him, "Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's." And the Bible says that they marveled at his answer. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. We need to render ourselves to God and render to Caesar what's Caesar's, but render unto God what's God's. And Jesus never denied his authority. The creator of heaven and earth was standing before one man, and he tells him, "Don't you know that I can kill you or to set you free?" And Jesus simply says, "You would have no authority over me if it wasn't given to you by my from on high, from above." See, he respected the authority of God. The Bible says that all authority comes through the kingdom, through God. God sets up the authority, sets up one man, sets up another, sets one over here, puts him up. Can I tell you, never be rebellious against authority. Never. Amen? I'll tell you why in a minute. You'll see why in a minute. Some folks have said to me, "Well, if you never push back, you will be like the Jews during the Holocaust." We're talking about something so different. If somebody, Pastor John and I were talking this morning, if somebody was to come in here, or if I was all of a sudden to go nuts on you and say, "Hey man, you can't worship God, you got to worship me." I mean, and now we're talking something else. I would expect a mass rebellion right out the door. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. We got to be smart about some of this stuff, you know? We got to ask God, "What are you saying?" We got to go to God. We got to expect something from Him. "God, what are you saying in these things?" These are some of the things I believe God is saying. He's addressing this. Authority comes from Him. Period. I don't care if it's your supervisor. It comes from Him. The authority that is over you, God knows. He knows. He knows you're under authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. So verse 12, this is, from that time forth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew tongue, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Isn't that crazy? Oh, man. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Isn't that crazy? Hallelujah. He did it all for us. Amen. Are you glad? Yeah. I'm not glad to see him go through it, but I'm glad he did it for me. I thank God that he did it for me. I want to take you to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And I'm going to get it. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5, the Bible says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death. Obedient to death. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under heaven. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love this section of scripture. And I've just seen something in it that I hadn't seen before. But my wife and I were talking a little bit about this. But Jesus wasn't recognized when he came. Do you remember that? When he came as a baby, only those that were, it was revealed that he was the king, that God on earth had that revelation. But for the most part, once he was growing up, I mean, he was just recognized as any man. Is that right? The scripture says that he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. It says that he was in the world and the world was made by him, but they didn't know him. Isn't that right? Isn't that cool? It's crazy. What? Jesus in the world, yet unrecognized by man, but by a few. I just want to take a look at what he did. The Bible says that he humbled himself. Is that right? The Word of God says, though he were, says, he made himself of no reputation because he was God on the earth. How many know? Let me say amen. Jesus was God walking the earth. How many know that? Are you convinced of that? I know there's some folks that don't believe it, but I'm going to tell you that he was God walking the earth. He was the Son of God. He made himself of no reputation. Is that right? Sometimes he'd heal somebody and say, go, don't tell anybody. Is that right? He'd say, don't spread this around. I can walk when I couldn't walk, and you want me to not tell anybody? Come on, man. They're going to ask. But somewhere, let's just go backwards for a minute, all right? Somewhere, years ago, centuries, thousands of years ago, to where everything goes dark, and there's no light, there's no creation. Somehow, there was a Godhead that said, they had a council, if you will. And in this council, they said, hey, they were speaking. The Godhead said, hey, let's create a universe. Cool, man. Yeah, let's do it. And in this universe, let's create some living beings. So there was two living beings that were created. I mean, there was two forms of living beings that were created. Not talking about the animals, but two living beings that could really communicate with God. Angels and men. Amen. That somehow God, because of who he is, understands that by his foreknowledge of how, where everything goes and how things are, he just knows. Amen? How many know that? That God knows everything, beginning and end. That's why we got the book of Revelation, can tell us what's coming at us. That's why he wrote those things to us. And he's trying to reveal things to us like we've never seen before, that we've never heard before. The revelation of the... Oh, I've been listening to a song. It's called Heaven's Secrets. And it talks about God captures every tear that you've ever cried. Where's Steve? Brother. Pastor John. How many of you cry? Anybody cry? Come on, cry. And you've cried buckets and buckets of tears. How many of you? He's captured every tear. And in this song, it talks about how he doesn't waste a drop. He says, but you will see the goodness of all your tears. You'll see why he's suffering. You'll see and you'll understand. God will show you his goodness. Amen? Come on, he loves you. But in his foreknowledge, he realizes, he says, they're going to rebel. So before anything was created, it's almost like they set up the hierarchy. God the Father would be the head of the authority. God the Son would be the one chosen to go down to redeem mankind. And the Spirit of God would be the one that would come and explain the things of the kingdom to those that were purchased by Christ. Isn't that cool? It's a cool thing. It's pre-planning. They planned it. How many of you know it was done that way? I mean it really kind of hard to find it in scripture, but let me just show you a few scriptures. Katie, I'm sorry, because this morning God gave me these four scriptures and I just gave her right at the end. I go, hey, I forgot to give you these scriptures. And so can you put up that first one? Just look at these. This is Jesus talking to his Father. Notice he calls him Father. The hierarchy is in place. And he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And then he says this, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before what? Foundation of the world, before anything was created. Next scripture. According as he has chosen, everybody say me. Yeah, chosen you in him before what? The foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. His choice was on you. Isn't that good? That's a good deal. There's people out there walking. They don't even know that God has chosen them. They don't even know yet, but they will know. God's going to use a lot of you to bring that revelation to them, to speak the word of God into them, and they'll say, oh, I didn't know. Come on, because that's what happened to me. How many of you say, I didn't know before I knew? Anybody hearing me? Okay, anyway, come on. Next verse. It says, who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See, Jesus, this thing was planned even before all the things were created. One more verse. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written, I'm sorry, whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, Jesus, the plan was already set forth even before everything appeared. Out of the darkness, and I think Rebecca was singing a song this morning about out of that darkness before the light even showed up. Here, all of a sudden, God's plan. You okay?
Yeah.
Don't fall asleep because you're going to hit hard. Hallelujah. Do you get it? all this was planned before. But God saw the rebellion. How many of you know he saw the rebellion? These people that he created, these entities that he created, the angels rebelled. Amen? And then man rebelled in his heart and went the other way and found ourselves all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Crazy. So seeing that they all rebelled, that plan came into that the Son, God the Son, would come onto the earth to redeem man. Because we have a problem with obedience. Everybody look at your neighbor next to you and say, obedience. So, tell them it's a good thing. Tell them obedience really is a good thing. How many know that? How many love obedience? Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I used to hate hearing my mom say, you need to obey me. Oh, Mom, I'm trying to. I really am. Hallelujah. Obedience. A lot of people don't like the word, but it really is something we need to take a look at. I want to talk about rebellion first. I want to take you into rebellion. And you know, the word of God in, where's it at? It's in Samuel. Did I give you that? Did that give you that scripture? Put that scripture up. It's in 1 Samuel, I believe it is. Samuel is talking to Saul. And before this verse, he says, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Is that right? How many believe that? How many know that obedience to God is better than your sacrifice? Oh, well, I sacrifice my time every Sunday and I go to church. That's my sacrifice. Come on, man. But what if God's telling you to do something, do you do it? Well, I go to church. I'm there every Sunday. I don't miss. Yeah, but what if he tells you to clean the neighbor's yard? Are you going to do that? No. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. Is that right? How many of you know that a sacrifice with obedience is awesome? How many know that? With obedience. How many know when your obedience is a sacrifice? There's another one. If your obedience is a sacrifice, can I tell you that's of great value with God? Do you understand that? Your obedience, sometimes you can obey and it's not hard on you, but there's other times where you go obey and it could hurt you. How many know that? You obey God and it could hurt you. You obey God and people don't understand that you're obeying God and they leave the house. They say, nah, I ain't going around there no more because I'm obeying God. That's okay. It's all right. Jesus happened to Jesus. How many know that? He told them, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, this is too hard. And they left. Jesus was not telling that out of his own because he said, everything I say to you, I say what my Father tells me to say. I do only those things. This is what Jesus was saying. I do only those things that he tells me to do. Is that okay? Do you know that's a good way to live your life? Do only the things that he tells you to do. When you begin to do those things that he's telling you to do, you're living your life in obedience. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for you to run around trying to be the Christian that does everything. He's not looking for that. He's trying to get you to listen to him and say, this is what I want you to do. What I want you to do might totally be totally different than what you're doing. And you're so actively doing it that you're missing what he wants you to do. Is that crazy? So folks, it's time that we hear what God is saying to us. I will push you into the kingdom. I will push you into the closet saying, do what he tells you to do. Brother Terry, I love your videos. This man sends videos of things of what God has told him to do. He went to the mountain the other day because God told him, go to the mountain. And then God revealed some incredible stuff. I should bring it in and show it. Would you be okay with that? Yeah. Do what God is asking you to do. That's all. That's all you got to do. Hallelujah. And don't rebel. Amen. Says here, rebellion is as the seed of witchcraft. You see that? And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. But I just want to kind of focus on rebellion as a sin of witchcraft. You know, the word witchcraft in the Greek is the word pharmakia. You guys know that. Most of you know that the word pharmakia means is where we get the word pharmacy from. It's derived from a word pharmakeis, and it says a drug or spell-giving potion, and then it says a poisoner. You see that? Rebellion doesn't just come on you and you just rebel. Can I tell you that real quick? Because most of us as Christians, we're smart enough where something comes on us, man, heavy enough, we know, and it doesn't overtake us. And we say, yeah, no, I ain't going to do that. Ain't no way. Somebody walk up to me with a bottle of tequila. You have to drink this. No, I'm not going to drink that. And I just know. I'm just going to push back on it. But you see, rebellion is kind of different. It says it's as the seed of witchcraft. I'm going to get to you. Don't worry about it. And it's as the seed of witchcraft. And listen, because witchcraft is where they take, you know, a little frog ear here, an eye of newt. Is that, I don't know the spells, but you guys have seen that. They do all these. They add all these things to make this potion. Love potion number 9. You guys remember that? Yeah. I started kissing everything in sight. But when I kissed a cop down on 29th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion. Anyway, how did we get to that? I don't know, man. But anyway, it's this potion that's made up of all these ingredients. Can I tell you that listening to some of the things that are going on, the Word of God tells you to focus on the kingdom of God. It says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, think on these things is what he says. But we're so busy thinking on all these little things, all these, can I tell you, a little word of rebellion probably won't hurt you, but then another word, it becomes a potion and it becomes like a spell giving, it says right here, spell giving potion. See, these thoughts that are within you become like a spell on you or a drug even, where you're captured by all these things. That's all you want to hear. And you're even now spewing it out on other folks and stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. That's so dangerous to the body of Christ. The body of Christ is to be focused on the kingdom, on him. Amen. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. Hallelujah. The world's going to go the way it goes. And you know what? We have a part because we're here. We are here for the glory of God to touch the world. Amen. So be careful of what you hear and the constant inflow of these things, because it could cause rebellion to rise up. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. All these little, Word of God says this way, with the Word of God, God says in Isaiah, he says, I think it's 28, he says, who will I teach? Who will I show and teach wisdom to? He says, those that have come off, they're not no longer babies anymore. They're on milk, solid milk. They're starting to eat meat. And then he says, precept will be upon precept, line upon line. Precept upon precept, line upon line. And then he says, here a little and there a little. Can I tell you that operates the same way backwards? Bad things, bad tidings, bad, here a little, there a little. It is coming to poison. And the enemy knows it. And he hates a message just like this. Because the purity of the gospel is about to hit the body of Christ. The purity of who God is. There's a scripture that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You see, those little ideas, those little things that are coming to you, you need to capture them and say, not in this thing. This is the God, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And the Holy Spirit rise up on these things. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Be careful with the rebellious spirit. It is rebellion that caused the angels to fall. It is sneakier than you know. It is something to be watched out for. And the only way you're going to protect yourself is spend time in the presence of God, looking at the things of God, sharing the things of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rebellion. So the Godhead agrees to have authority represented by the Father. Here's the Father. You see, here's the Father, and then the Godhead agrees that mankind cannot obey God. Is that right? There's an obedience problem with mankind. Can I tell you that authority is established by obedience? How many of you know that? Is that right? Authority is established by obedience. When my kids were doing wrong, ask them. I put them in the closet. I put them in the bathroom. And he said, just think about what you did. And I'd take off. I'd cool off. And there, the whole time, could be an hour or so, they're in the bathroom going, oh, I wonder when he's going to come in. I wonder what he's going to do. Fretting. Because I know, I don't know if I knew it that well, but I do know it really well now, that obedience establishes authority. It helps authority. Is that right? So when we're defund the police. I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? They are authority in our lives. They belong in the earth. They are anointed by God. They are ordained by God to do a specific purpose. And you better get it. You better understand, because they're here to go after those that are doing wrong, and they're here to help those that are doing good.
That's right.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Some of the smallest things we don't understand are really big with God. Is that right? Your obedience. Obedience needed to be established. See, yeah, Jesus came to die for our sins. But it says in Philippians, isn't that right? Can you put up Philippians? I need you to stand up. Are you all right? Yeah, okay. No more sitting around. Must be nice. The Word of God says this. You're going to see in Philippians, it says, being found in the fashion of man, the Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Can you put on the maybe a few scriptures up? I'm sorry. Yeah. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth. Things under the earth. Yeah. Yeah, Katie, can you go back? You know, probably this first set when we started on Philippians 2. The Bible says, being found in the fashion of a man, the Bible says he humbled himself. Let's just say this is Jesus. Just take off that throne. Take off the robe. See, can I tell you that probably one of the hardest things for God to do was to take off his robe of being God. Do you know that? You know, humble ourselves before God, or all we have to do is just say, God, I'm sorry. But for God to humble himself and become as a man, now we're talking something really extremely big. Do you understand that? This was God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that took off his being God to become a man. How difficult do you think that might be? How difficult do you think it could have been for Jesus in doing this? Now, first thing, he humbled himself and he became a man. But then the Bible says that he humbled himself, it says, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So what he did, scriptures say, that, put this around your waist, hold it with one hand, that's good. Pastor John, sit right there just for a second. The Word of God says that he became a man. He humbled himself. He took off his robes of glory, which had to be extremely difficult, because all the things that the Bible says, put up Hebrews 5 real quick. Just want you to check out the scripture. It says this, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Do you know that he had to learn obedience? Because he was God. He had to learn it. I always wonder about this scripture. I go, what are you talking about? You had to learn it? What do you mean? You don't know what it is? Oh, he knows what it is. But he never had to do it. God was so used to everything being obedient to him. Light be, boom. Let there be a, what? Waters in the, and then earth, let it appear, and boom, it happened. Everything was obedient to him. And for him to put all of that off and become obedient to be a, just a man was an incredible thing. But now he's going to be obedient as a servant. The Bible says, right before it was right before the Last Supper, that he put on, he tied a towel upon him. And this go ahead and just kneel down in front of him and grab his foot. And the Bible says that Jesus washed the feet of all of his disciples, Judas included, washed their feet. He became a servant. Can I tell you, the humility that Jesus displayed is something that is so important to us. Do you know how? Do you know how important? Do you know that for him to do something like that? Incredible. He did it for us. Because Jesus at any time, that's good. Jesus at any time could have said, hey. There was even a time when they met him in the garden, and I think it was Peter or somebody, pulls out a sword and chops off the ear. And he tells him, do you not know that I could call legion of angels right now? Why? Because I'm God. But he didn't, did he? He could have. Though he were yet a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that call. You see that? Being made perfect through obedience, he became the author. See, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus lives in you, obedience lives in you. You can obey. And it will come easier and easier for you to obey. He's made him the author of your salvation. What does that mean? He writes your story. Is that right? If I could write my story, he'd be my hero. But he writes your story. He writes, this is what Pastor John did in 2025. This is what Abe did in 2023. This is what Steve Price did in 2020. Years ahead, that's the point. He writes your salvation. How important is it for you to obey him? How important is it that you let him do what he wants to do in your life? Would you stand? Hallelujah. We're going to worship just a little bit with, but I want to put up now Philippians 2, 9 through 11 while you're standing. The Word of God says this. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. How many say amen to that? Why? Because of what he's done. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on the earth, and things in the earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Can I tell you something? That his name was Lord because of what he's done. That's what makes him Lord of all. Is he Lord over your life? Have you given him full reins? Have you stepped into that place where you say, hey, I'm giving it all to you, Lord. I can't do anymore on my own. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I want to step into what you have. I want to step into those things that you have written for me. Things to come. Because God is for you. and he's not against you. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, Father. Father, will you forgive us for trying to do things our way? Will you forgive us, Father, for thinking that we can live without your guidance, Father? Father, will you cause your voice to be heard in our hearts, stronger and stronger and stronger, that we might know your will for our lives, Father, that we might know what you desire, Father. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. Show us, Father. Show us your will, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, if you agree, say amen. Let's worship.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.